Amanda, thank you, Wayne and Shawnee. Beautiful music today, hasn't it been? Just a great day in God's house. And I'm glad you made it. How many of you here came from your house this morning and you didn't have power? Anyone? Oh, there's a few of you. God bless you. Man, those, you are the tough ones. Well, I came. We didn't have power at our house. Thank God we have a shower here at the church, or you'd be seeing another side of me that you haven't for quite a while. And it was ominous when I was driving in. It was so dark around. And I thought, you know, we take for granted sometimes the smallest things on a regular basis, don't we, though? I mean, the house is dark. I'm walking around with a flashlight, and I'm flipping switches on. Oop, that's right. There's no power. Oop, that's right. I mean, we just come so accustomed to things. And I wonder if we come accustomed sometimes to our relationship with Christ, and we really don't put the emphasis on it that we could or we should sometimes. I pray today your heart will be open. I pray that you'll receive from Him today, and I want to wish each one of you a great, great Christmas. As I said, when we leave today, we want you to stop out at the tables there today. Just fellowship for just a few moments together. If you have your Bible, and you would, you'd open it up to Luke chapter 2. I want to read to you a story today. I want to pray, and I won't be long today, but what we have to share will, I know, will be a great blessing to your life. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your purpose and your plan. I ask you, Lord, to allow every heart to receive your promise today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for taking our sins, our failures, our faults, our fears, our issues, our dysfunction. Thank you for carrying those away, paying a price we couldn't pay, paying a price you didn't know. We honor you, Lord, in particular today for that. I ask, Lord, now, make your word come alive to each and every person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, I also want to tell you, this weekend, it's my son Benjamin's birthday. Benny, stand up, wave your hand, let everybody know. Not everybody knows who you are. And Jamin Brill Svetko. Did I say it right? Stand up, Jamin. Jamin, little girl. This is Robin and Lenny's daughter. We love her. It's her birthday today. I just discovered that. We're a partying machine here, unless you didn't know that. We want to celebrate. I'm sure if there's any other birthdays that I missed, I love you and happy birthday to you. I want to talk to you just for a few moments this morning on this series that we've been doing, The Journey to Bethlehem. It's been just wonderful. I've loved every moment of it. I've learned many things myself as I have been in study about this in prayer. I've seen some things. I felt the Lord just really deal with me in some areas of my own life and encourage me in some other areas. But today I want to talk to you just about the thought, is there room in your heart today for Jesus? And today I want to focus on this very obscure character in this whole story that we read about. It's found in Luke chapter 2. It's about the innkeeper. There's really nothing much spoken about him. We don't know where he was from necessarily. We don't know what happened to him afterwards. There's really nothing much written about him, only this one little portion. And I want to just read Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. A very important point to note. Verse 4, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Another important part of the whole story. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Now, really, history and theologians don't know whether they arrived in Bethlehem the night that she was going to have the baby or if they'd been there. And at that time when the census was being taken, it was for purposes of taxes, and they had to obey that, and that is what brought them back there. But it was in the plan of God that this child, this Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. And I'm reading out of the New International because I love how it says this. Because there was no guest room available for them. And I want to ask you today, and I'm not going to be long and I want you to listen intently, but do you have room for him? Have you ever had a birthday where you would hope that people maybe would consider throwing a party for you? You wanted some nice gifts. You wanted people to buy gifts. You wanted them to recognize you and identify you that it's your birthday. And maybe you were hoping that somebody somewhere would throw this huge surprise party for you. And you were certain as well that every time you were out and about, maybe you were out to dinner, that somebody would say, hey, happy birthday. And you were looking forward to it with great excitement. But at the end, nothing like that happened. The party never took place. People not only forgot your birthday, but the reality of it was some knew it was your birthday, but they didn't even acknowledge it. And in theory, that's what Christmas can be like. It's supposed to be the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And in contrast to your birthday and mine, everybody recognizes it. But not everyone recognizes it for what it really is and what it really means. Everywhere we go, we're reminded Christmas is coming. I think Christmas merchandise started coming out in the stores in September this year. We're like, what is up with that? Merchants want you to shop till you drop. Shoppers turn into psychos trying to get the best deals that they can. A few years ago at a Walmart, a Walmart employee was trampled to death on Black Friday because people were trying to get the best deal. 4 years ago in a Toys R Us in Tennessee, another employee was trampled. And thank God that they lived through it. But the mindset that comes over people at this time of the year is incredible. And they miss the true reason for the season. And maybe you and I, we all need to just relax a little bit and remember what the season is really about and what it's for. Because it's a set time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of our activities and our preparations to celebrate Christmas, how often do we forget who the honored guest is himself? We string our lights, we trim our trees, we talk about Christmas, we listen to our Christmas songs. We got to get the best CD, we got to get the Michael Bublé CD, Christmas CD. We want it all. But many of us, many times, we forget who this is that we're singing and talking about. And it's not just a 21st century phenomenon. It happened in the first century as well, on the very first Christmas. Mary and Joseph had been biding their time in Nazareth, getting closer and closer to the delivery date. And then the announcement was made that everyone had to be taxed and they had to go to their initial hometown for this to take place. And Mary and Joseph were both descendants of King David. And so they begin to make their journey to Bethlehem. In Scripture, it also said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So that is what Mary and Joseph would have to do. They would have to go to Bethlehem. And as we think about the journey to Bethlehem, we can romanticize in our minds this beautiful little, this couple, this pregnant lady on this nice fine wagon and with a beautiful backdrop of a starlit sky and just tinkle bells ringing in the background. But that's nothing what it was like. It was a 90-mile trip, not on paved flat roads, over rough terrain. And they could only move about maybe 20 miles a day. Probably temperatures at night were in the 30s, and they had to go through forests where there would be wild animals, and then not even taking into account that there would be some bandits and robbers there as well. But Mary and Joseph probably comforted themselves by thinking about their destiny, their destination, and hoping that when they finally got to Bethlehem, maybe there would be a warm bed waiting for them. But that was not the case. When they finally arrived, they found that the place was full, and the innkeeper told them, "There is no room here." And he sent them out to a stable. And I loved it, and I would encourage you to read some of the history on that, because the history behind that right there is incredible. They didn't realize that it was the place where the Savior was to be born. And we hear the story, and we wonder, what is the deal with the innkeeper? How could he have been so indifferent? Where was his heart? And I think, like a lot of people, the innkeeper was preoccupied at the time of the year. And the Bible doesn't really tell us a whole lot about this innkeeper. We can kind of let our imaginations run a little bit and wonder what really happened on that particular night when he turned them away. But the question that he has for all of us today, and I want to ask you, will you make room for Jesus in your life today? The fact that there was no room for him at the inn was indicative of the treatment that Jesus would encounter all through his earthly ministry. The Bible says in John 7:53 through John 8:1 that it says, "And everyone went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives." In other words, everyone went home for the night, but Jesus went to sleep in the open air. And it seemed then, as it is now, that there would be no room for Jesus. And today, there just seems to be, in so many situations, in so many homes and families, that there's been made no room for the Master, the Messiah, the Savior. And I want to ask you that question again. I want to ask you this morning. As we enter into this Christmas season, as we prepare to start a new year with new opportunities and new things happening, I want to ask you, will you make room for him in your life?
If I had known then what I know now, there would have been room at my inn. I would have given up my own bed for them, but I didn't. How could I have known? The place was packed. I've never seen so many people in Bethlehem before. The government made everybody in the world go back to their hometowns and register. The government's got to get their money, right? And since nobody wants to stay with their in-laws, I'm booked solid. Man, I remember the day well. All the room we had was gone before dinner, and they showed up 2 hours after dinner. Talk about desperate. He was tired and exhausted, you see? Well, she was about to burst. And as they're walking up to me, I'm planning what I'd say in my head. I'm thinking I would say, "I'm sorry. I don't have any more rooms." But when they got to me, he just stood there for a minute looking down, trying to gather his thoughts. And she winces ever so slightly in pain. And then he looks at me and he says, "Sorry. Please." That's all he says. It's please. Let me tell you a story. I'm 5 years old and I'm helping my mom set the table. And I say to her, "You've put out too many plates." And she looks at me and says, "You always make room. You never know who will show up." And so I look at her like, "What?" And she says empathetically, "You never know who God will send your way. You always make room." So I look at this husband and his very pregnant wife and I say, "I don't know what we could do with you. After all, I guess Mom was right. You always make room, especially for God."
How many of you love that innkeeper? What can we learn from the innkeeper? Number one, we should always be prepared to do the and then some. The innkeeper, to his defense, did not know he was turning away the Son of God. But could the story have been written different? Could he have been interrupted by the compassion and grace that was standing before him? And could he have made a different decision? How about our decisions? How about when it doesn't fit into your plan, into your schedule, into your goal? Because God can show up at any time and he can call you and I to do and to become involved in the experience of a lifetime. And when we don't respond, we miss out on the greatest intersection of divinity and humanity that God has prepared for our lives. Listen to me now. goals and plans are all good, but when they are in such concrete form that not even God can change them, that's when they are useless. And missed opportunities can come to you and I all the time, but when a God opportunity comes, we need to recognize it. I love what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, "The opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity." And I wonder how many God opportunities that we miss on a regular basis because we didn't take the time to examine, to pray, and to reconsider, and to do the and then some. The second thing, the innkeeper, that we need to remember here is that the innkeeper did not reject them. He just didn't make any room for them. Now, this is an important part that we need to know because there's people all over the world. They celebrate Christmas and they call themselves a Christian because they participate in the things. They're not rejecting God, but they're not letting Him in to their life either. And they may be great people, but I want to remind you today that good people do not gain the internal inheritance that God has promised. The people that gain that are the ones that let Him into their lives. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door of your life and I knock on the door." He says, "If any man hears my voice and he opens the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me." Listen to that scripture. That he stands at the door of every heart. He stands and he knocks. You know that there's only on that door, there is only a doorknob on one side, and that's on your side and mine. He will not push his way in, but he stands there. And the Bible says, if you hear his voice and you open it, he will come in. You don't have to reject him not to let him in. All you have to say is, not now. And I was reminded this morning about the scripture, I believe it's in Acts, where the Bible says that after Paul had talked to King Agrippa II, that the Bible says he was almost persuaded to believe what Paul had said to him. Almost. Almost. And almost really doesn't work in anything. I want to talk to somebody today just for a moment and ask you if you'll open up your heart to him today. He doesn't say you have to be good enough. He doesn't say you have to be righteous enough. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to join a church. But you have to open up your heart to let him in. And the third thing we can learn from this innkeeper, that preoccupation almost always produces indifference. When you focus only on your own wants, your own needs, and nothing else, and no one else seems to matter, you miss the opportunity that God is bringing to you. While the preoccupation of the innkeeper and his guest have caused them to overlook the needs of this pregnant woman, they could not have known the significance of who it was that was standing in front of them that day. And perhaps if they had known, they would have reacted different. And while it is sad that the innkeeper and his guests missed out on the very birth of Jesus himself, they can be excused maybe due to ignorance, but we, you and I, we don't have that excuse because we have the benefit of hindsight. We know that Jesus is the Son of God who came to deliver us from our sin and give us the hope of eternal life. And if we miss the reality of Christmas, we only have to look at ourselves. I want to ask you today, will you make room for him? I want to tell somebody, as I was sitting here this morning, we were worshiping, the word came across me. I felt the Spirit of the Lord to tell somebody, this is what he wants somebody to know, that it's not too late. And you need to look beyond your independence. And personally, this day, open up your life and celebrate the Savior's birth and why he has come. Come on, is there room in your heart for him today?
Silent night, has come. All is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild.
Beautiful. Can you give the Lord praise for that today? Bring those lights up a little bit, if you would, gentlemen. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me today? He loves you so much. His plan for you is so big. His love for you reaches over any challenge or broken heart today. He cares so much for you. Jesus came, born, lived, died for you, for me. I wonder if you're here today and just in a moment of struggle in your life, I just want to pray for you. He loves you. He cares for you so much. He wants to help you. I'm talking to you today if the Holy Spirit is talking to you, if He's prompting your heart today, if He's tugging on you today, this could be one of the greatest times that you've ever experienced in your life. Hallelujah. Just open your hands up right where you're at. I don't want anything from you. I just want you to know that He loves you. I think Ryan said it earlier, God loves you so much. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak life and hope. I speak encouragement to every single one that is here today. That beautiful baby that has come into the world, not for nothing, not just so we could buy presents and have Christmas morning cookies and things like that, all nice. But God, you came in to save, to redeem, to make new and make alive. Oh, thank you, God. Somebody is receiving something great from God right now. I feel it. Thank you, Lord. God, I just agree with your Holy Spirit right now. Make changes in people's lives today. Make the changes that are needed for life to begin today, I pray. And I thank you for it. Lord, now bless your people in a beautiful and a powerful way, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said amen. You love the Lord today? Come on, give him another praise.